Good morning. Today is Monday, the 13th of January. My name is John Endres, and this is the latest risk alert from the Center for Risk Analysis. This is a service for CRA subscribers brought to you every Monday morning at 7 a.m. by the CRA, helping you make better decisions. In this week's risk alert, we begin with the causes and consequences of the closure of ArcelorMittal's long steel plants. We assess President Ramaphosa's January 8th statement on the anniversary of the ANC's founding in 1912, and from there we turn to an outlook on the US and South African economy and judge the implications for the rand. We close with an update on the situation in Mozambique. But we begin with ArcelorMittal, and the company will be shuttering its long steel plants in Newcastle and Vereeniging at the end of January after years of falling demand, an unreliable energy supply, an underperforming logistics sector, and a macro environment unconducive to large-scale manufacturing and construction projects. In addition to those factors, ArcelorMittal also laid blame at the door of the country's scrap metal policy and on cheap steel imports from China. Total demand for steel was 4.1 million tons in 2024, a 10% drop from the previous year, and of this, 2.8 million tons were produced locally, from plants that have the capacity to produce 8.8 million tons. While political leaders such as President Cyril Ramaphosa and the Public Works Minister Dean McPherson have talked about turning South Africa into a giant construction site, ArcelorMittal's long steel decision sends a chilling signal regarding the viability of manufacturing and construction, two sectors crucial for higher GDP growth rates. South Africa's highly valued automotive sector, which, like many other sectors, is subject to local content requirements in pursuit of localization objectives, will also be negatively impacted. While the ArcelorMittal plant shutdowns are expected to result in 3,500 direct job losses, several tens of thousands of jobs in other industries are also at risk. During a media briefing on 6 January, AMSA CEO Kobus Fersteer said that domestic steel consumption was 30% lower than 8 years ago. The APSA Purchasing Managers Index for December 2024 confirmed the ongoing struggles of the manufacturing sector specifically. The reading of 46.2 represents the second consecutive monthly decline. In the 1980s, the manufacturing sector contributed 25% of the country's total GDP, but by 2023, this had dropped by half to 12.9%. In a statement released last week, the Trade and Industry Minister Parks Tau said, "Whilst the immediate task will be on addressing structural issues affecting AMSA's long steel business, the broader focus should also be on addressing productivity improvements and supply chain efficiencies, investments in low carbon technologies, competitiveness, and regaining the market share." But this is pious waffle. South Africa will continue to deindustrialize until the government becomes serious about addressing the detrimental effects of its industrial, labor, and procurement policies, as well as the harm that its state-owned enterprises cause in electricity, water, and logistics. Coming next to the ANC, on Saturday the party celebrated its 113th birthday in Khayelitsha, Cape Town. In his speech at the event, Mr. Ramaphosa recognized that the ANC was facing an existential crisis and said that it needed to renew itself if it was to survive. He pleaded for unity within the party and with its alliance members, such as the South African Communist Party and the Congress of South African Trade Unions, both of which have expressed their unhappiness about the presence of the Democratic Alliance in the Government of National Unity. The SACP has been sufficiently disgruntled to announce in December that it would be contesting the 2026 local government elections independently. However, it will remain a member of the tripartite alliance. The ANC finds itself at a crossroads. In one direction beckon democratic constitutionalism and the pro-growth policies that are possible within the context of the GNU, and further along that path lie higher economic growth and increased political support levels, holding the promise of a recovery following the 40% humbling of the party in the 2024 elections. Along the other path, which many in the party favour, lies a tie-up with the revolutionary ethnic nationalist forces represented by the likes of Umkhonto we Sizwe and the economic freedom fighters. That path leads to greater poverty, more corruption, and sustained underdevelopment. With time running short before the 2026 local government elections and limited opportunities to win voters' favour, the ANC faces difficult decisions this year. Foremost will be the respective futures of the current iterations of the party's Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal structures. The Gauteng provincial ANC is under the sway of anti-GNU leaders, while the KZN ANC is suspected of being wooed and at risk of being subverted by MK. Party unity will come under increasing strain in the run-up to the 2026 polls. The ANC continues to hold an interest in the continuation of the current GNU constellation, at least in the short term. But as Mr. Ramaphosa's January 8th statement shows, it is becoming increasingly clear that most of the party's leadership are not taking seriously enough the lessons from the party's decline in electoral support from 2019 to 2024. Should the echo chamber persist, the party is unlikely to turn around its ailing fortunes in the 2026 local government polls and in the 2029 national and provincial elections. Mr. Ramaphosa's assertion that state power will always be in the hands of the African National Congress is beginning to sound increasingly hollow. We now turn to the currency markets and the rand's recent weakening against the dollar to 19 rand 11 last week from 17 rand 12 on 27 September 2024, which represents a 10.5% drop in its value, was primarily a reflection of dollar strengthening. The dollar index, which measures the performance of the greenback against a basket of other currencies, shows strengthening by 9.6% over the same period, from an index value of 100.05 to 109.64. If the US economy performs strongly during Mr. Trump's second term as president, the dollar will likely continue strengthening. It could soon eclipse its September 2022 high of 112 points and perhaps even go on to surpass the 25-year high of 120 points recorded in January 2002. Should the Trump administration succeed in implementing policies that favor US exporters and widen the deficit, the US Federal Reserve will proceed more cautiously with future interest rate cuts as it tries to shore up the value of the dollar. Slower rate cuts are also indicated by rising yields on US bonds, with the yield on the US 10-year Treasury note rising to almost 4.79% on Friday, its highest level in 14 months. The US economy added 256,000 jobs in December, more than the 160,000 that were expected, while the unemployment rate unexpectedly declined to 4.1%. Overall, the picture is one of ongoing rand weakening against the US dollar in 2025. Weak growth fundamentals in South Africa mean that the rand can offer little to resist the process. Increased geopolitical tensions and volatility in 2025 will expose these weaknesses as investors lean into safe havens such as the US dollar. Ongoing growth concerns in China pose a further downside to rand strengthening, as Chinese demand for South African commodities remains a key driver behind rand value. As a small open economy, South Africa is especially exposed to global volatility. The government can insure against some of this volatility and pare down some of the rand's exposed weakness by accelerating pro-growth reforms. For the GNU, translating the promise of growth into real growth is of foremost concern. Finally, we turn to Mozambique, and here the potential for more intense protest action increased last week with the return to the country of opposition leader Venancio Mondlane on 9 January, ahead of the scheduled inauguration of the governing Frelimo party's Daniel Chapo as president. Mr. Mondlane fled the country following the 9 October 2024 election amidst allegations that the election had been rigged in favor of Frelimo. Throughout November and December, recurring bouts of election-related protests shut the Mozambique-South Africa border and severely impacted operations at the port of Maputo. Should the simmering situation erupt in the weeks around the inauguration, South Africa will be forced to contend with incoming refugees, constrained and at-risk business operations and investments, and increased regional instability with accompanying heightened security risks. That's it from us for this week. We hope you will have a successful week and look forward to speaking to you again next Monday morning.